We're on Isaiah 55, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 to 13. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the prophet Isaiah. He has so much wisdom and truth in his verses, so many prophetic verses. It's a very large book, Lord, but it is just so wonderful to read the truths that he's given us as he's been moved by the Holy Ghost to write these words. Thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at verse 6, it says we're to seek and call upon God. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. We and all other mankind are to turn from our unrighteous ways and thoughts and return to the Lord for mercy. If you look at verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is merciful. He pardons all who come to him in humble belief in his Son, Jesus Christ. God desires all to come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. These are his thoughts towards us and towards all of mankind. 2 Peter 3:9, I love this verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's pretty evident that God, who has thoughts of mercy and forgiveness towards us, would speak words that reflect his thoughts. God would speak words to us that reflect his merciful and forgiving thoughts. And that's how we're able to come to him, isn't it? We're able to come to the Lord when we hear his word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. No one can be saved without hearing the word of God. So how do you hear the word of God? You might hear a sermon. A neighbor might witness to you. Your relative might witness to you. Or a friend. You might read the word of God. Maybe you get a tract with the word of God in the tract. God's thoughts and ways of mercy and forgiveness are contained in his word, which is in the Bible. Psalm 119:41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. When we consider the word of God is so important to everyone who has ever been born and who will be born in the future. We're all descendants of Adam, right? We're all here when because of Adam. And Adam was spoken into existence 6,000 years ago. When you read Genesis chapter 1, God spoke his word and everything was instantly created. Psalm 33:6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." So if God can speak everything into existence, which he did, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the universe, he can certainly save us from death and give us eternal life, can he not? For that's the will of God, that none of us should perish. No one should perish. I'll read 2 Peter 3:9 again. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So as we read Isaiah 55 and look at these verses, we see that we can trust that the spoken word of God shall continue to fulfill his will. You see, the will of God is being fulfilled by his word that is in the Bible. And there's five things that God's word is doing today. And we can be assured that these five things are happening right now, and they will continue to happen in the future. But I first want to look at verse 10, where we're given an analogy of God's word. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." So this verse says, the rain and snow come down from heaven and they water the earth. The water brings forth buds that give seeds to the sower and food to the eater. This verse 10 is what the word of God is like. That's to help us understand how the word of God works. So I have 5 points. The first point is God's word shall not return to him void or empty. Verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void." Void means empty or producing nothing, of no effect. God is telling us that there will be an effect. There will be results from his word going forth out of his mouth from heaven down to earth. God hasn't spoken in an empty room where nobody hears what he said. God's word is like the rain and the snow that comes down from the heavens and waters the earth, as it says in verse 10. Rain and snow that water the earth cause things to grow, cause things to bear fruit. We all who have gardens, we know you need water for your garden to grow, for your vegetables to bear fruit. So the rain and snow that water the earth produce something. That's what God's spoken word does. It comes down from heaven out of his mouth like the rain and snow, and his word falls on the dry souls of men and women deadened by sin, and it penetrates their hearts of unbelief. Just like the 3,000 souls whose hearts were pricked when Peter gave the gospel to them in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" These men, women, and children's hearts were changed by the word of God that came down from heaven. Just like the two testimonies we heard this morning, their hearts were changed by the word of God. And they gladly placed their faith in Jesus Christ and they were saved. These 3,000 souls were given abundant, everlasting life because they believed the spoken word of God that came down from heaven. As Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." John 10:10. You and I have abundant life. We have eternal life because of God's word that came down from heaven. You see, God's word hasn't returned to him void. And God's word is filled with the saved souls who have heard and believed the precious gospel of salvation that has come down from heaven out of his mouth. As we move on this to a second point, it's found in these verses, God's word shall accomplish that which he pleases. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish that which I please. Accomplish, you can think of it as finish. His word will finish that which he pleases. There's nothing his word has accomplished that God is not happy with. God does what he pleases because he is the great and mighty God of the universe. There's no other who has authority over God. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. That's Psalm 135, 6. And God, our creator, he's pleased. He's pleased with every person, every man, every woman, every child who has been saved by believing the gospel. He's pleased when you repented and believed in Jesus Christ and you turned to him for salvation. If we look at back at verse 10, the rain and snow water the earth. They bring forth plants out of the ground. You know, when you have a vegetable garden and you see stuff grow, you're pleased. And there's a cantaloupe back there that somebody won a prize. She's very pleased about the results, right? You see, God is pleased to save those who believe the gospel, to save those who believe his spoken word, which has accomplished what it was sent for. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In fact, God is so pleased that there is joy in heaven every time a sinner is saved by faith in Christ. There's a verse in Revelation. It talks about angels. Chapter 7, I think. And it talks about angels worship, standing around the throne of God and worshiping. And it says there were 10,000 times 10,000 angels and thousands upon thousands. 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million angels. So when you got saved, 100 million angels plus rejoiced in heaven. Like, that's a phenomenal story. Like, you matter, right? Your soul matters to God. He loves you so much. And he's so pleased because you turn to Jesus Christ. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Luke 15:10, you can have the poorest person in the poorest country and they place their faith in God, an insignificant man or woman or child that does not matter to anybody, but they're singing in heaven when that person repents and believes. God's word shall accomplish that which he pleases. Thirdly, God's words shall prosper. So shall my word be, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall prosper in that thing whereunto I sent it. His word, in other words, will bear much fruit, as many, many souls will be saved from eternal death and hell. It's like having your garden grow and producing so much harvest, you don't know what to do with it. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. We can plant more seeds and use grain to make more food to eat. It's just never ending. You can make more and more and more, and the crops prosper as they produce more foods and seeds for planting the next year. The word of God has prospered as many millions of souls have been saved over hundreds and hundreds of years. From the early beginning of the Christian churches in the book of Acts, God's word spread and was believed on by many men and many women and many children. As we read in these two verses, Acts 12:24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. It's like somebody said, if you take a drop of water, if you put a drop of water, I think it's a drop every minute in a stadium, and you double it every minute, it takes 50, something like 57 minutes to fill up a stadium full of water. That's God's word. It multiplies and multiplies. Acts 19:20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. God's word has prospered by the saving of many souls, but also God's word has prospered by spiritually maturing Christians as they have been cleansed and sanctified by reading his word. One of the testimonies we heard spoke of learning and becoming more mature as a Christian through reading his word. That's why we read his word. Ephesians 5:26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, when you have I love growing corn, and we grow quite a bit of corn, and you see the corn grow tall and you know, 6-7 feet tall, some of them. And it continues to grow and it gets strong as it's watered by the rain. See, God's word shall continue to water and strengthen our souls. His word has strengthened my soul. How about you? Are you reading God's word to strengthen your soul? God's word shall continue to prosper in the thing where he sent it. But also, fourthly, God's word shall honor him. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. And if you look at verse 13, it shall be to the Lord for a name. The word name means fame. It means honor and praise or distinction. It's like when somebody is well respected, maybe a businessman, and they started with very little and now they're very successful. You might say, oh, that person's made a real name for themselves. You see, the name, our name is important. As Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment. The word of God that has gone forth out of his mouth is to give him glory, to give him honor and praise. God's word shall honor him and him alone. As he said in Isaiah 42:8, God said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God has a name for himself. He has a name that is only to be praised and glorified. There are so many verses especially in the book of Psalms, that tell us we're to be glory to the, give glory and praise to the name of God and to give him honor. Two verses, Psalm 66:2, sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. And 86:12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. It's the word of God that has gone forth to provide us a way to salvation. It's God who has shown mercy to us and saved us when we believed that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It's God that has pardoned us from all our sins and wiped our sins from our record. So it's only God who deserves the honor and praise from us. We're not to give men glory. That's the problem with a lot of churches. Men want to get the glory and the praise. But 1 Corinthians 3:21 says, therefore, let no man glory in man. No man or woman is able to save anyone from hell. I cannot save my brother from hell who I pray that he would get saved. See, it's only God who saves people. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:6 and 7, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. so that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We in the big picture, we're nothing, right? We aren't anything. It's God who gives the increase. We must never forget that God saved us. He saved us from eternity of hell in the lake of fire. We must not forget to praise him and give honor to his name. There's one more point. Number five, God's word shall last forever. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. And if you skip down to verse 16, it shall be for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Sign means token or evidence or proof. God's word that goes forth out of his mouth will be everlasting. Evidence or proof that shall not be cut off. The word of God shall last forever and ever as evidence of his everlasting love, his everlasting mercy to those he has saved, and his everlasting promise to forgive us of our sins forever. When you plant a garden, the rains come, they bring forth the plants. There's a time of growth, and then there's the harvest. But the garden only lasts a couple of months, especially up here in Muskoka. Our garden has really died off. There's not a lot left. But God's word is his everlasting word that will never die. It will never fade away. It'll never become out of date. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. That's Isaiah 48. That's good news because we were saved by the word of God. The only way our salvation could be eternal is if God's word is eternal. 1 Peter tells us in 1:25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It should give you and I great comfort, knowing that God's word can be trusted and that his word is everlasting. You know, today there don't seem to be any boundaries in society, does it? Do there? Anything goes these days when it comes to morality. Our laws are being changed to reflect society's increasingly sinful attitudes and behavior. But we can draw comfort knowing that we can trust God, our Heavenly Father. We can trust what he has told us in the Bible. We can draw comfort knowing that our eternal future has been secured and guaranteed by God's everlasting word. So in closing, I'll just repeat those five things that God's word shall do. The first is God's word shall not return void. Secondly, God's word shall accomplish that which he pleases. Thirdly, God's word shall prosper in what God sent it to do. Fourth, God's word shall bring honor and praise to his name. Fifth, God's word shall last forever and ever. If you were to look across the horizon in a land that's like a desert, it's dry and arid, and there'd be nothing but sand and rocks and hills for miles and miles, but when the spring rains come, all of a sudden these flowers pop up here and there. You know, our world is like a desert right now, is it not? Especially in North America. Christians are being subtly persecuted. The Bible is being removed from society. But you know, like a desert that will fill with flowers when the rains come, that's what's happening here. You'll have a flower, a person over here gets saved, another person over there gets saved, because God's word has watered the whole earth and people respond to the gospel. We must not lose heart, because the word of God is still accomplishing what he pleases. We just need to be faithful. We need to make his word available to our community and around us. We must not forget as well that there's a better future that lies ahead for each one of us. And that's what verse 12 and 13 says. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. When Jesus returns to earth, to return as Lord of lords and King of kings, we believers will live on this earth with joy, and we will be led by Christ with peace. Jesus will bring true joy and peace to a world that's full of sin, it's full of war, violence, and tribulation. It will be a time when all of creation will be restored. If you read the book of Isaiah, he talks about the restoration of the earth when Jesus returns. And the thorns and the briars are prickly bushes that grew up when Adam and Eve sinned, will be gone forever. And they will be replaced by majestic fir trees and beautiful myrtle trees. It's a time that all of us believers should look forward to with eager anticipation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope it gives us. You give us hope. You give us something to look forward to. And so many people look at church and the Bible as being out of date and old, but your word is an eternal word. And it is a word that tells of future events and gives us all those promises, those wonderful promises that the lost do not have. And I do pray, Lord, that we will continue to tell other people about Jesus Christ, pass out tracts, invite them to church, that they too would have the hope and the assurance of an eternity in heaven, that hope that we have. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.